Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovich, and your phone calls here on the very first day of September.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed.
I went through her room. I found bottles of alcohol under her bed and in her closet.
I went in and loaded my pistol, and I sat down in the office, and I just started contemplating everything I've been through.
You know, the Bible does say honor your parents, and the New Testament tells us specifically a lot of ways to do that. But it doesn't say obey them. It says very specifically, for example, in Ephesians, children, obey your parents. Mm-hmm. Everybody's to honor your parents, but if you are an adult and you are obeying your parents, then you have not graduated yet.
You're not an adult.
You're not an adult yet. And the New Testament is oh so clear about that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is a show for adults, people that have graduated into adulthood, and those who haven't, because we want to get you there and helping you with your graduation ceremony. Milan Yurkovich. Hello, Milan.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. Milan and his wife, Kay, Kay Yurkovich, have written How We Love and How We Love Our Kids. Dr. Jill Hubbard, the author of The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets Young Women Keep.
Glad
to be with you guys.
We're glad to be with you.
Glad to be here, of course.
Here on the first of the month, I just don't want people to miss an opportunity to make September the 1st your new year. In many ways, it is much more of a new year than when the new year happens. You go from summer to spring. You've got kids in school versus hanging around the house. It is a great opportunity on this day to make the commitment and go to the meeting to stop drinking, to decide that you're going to lose the weight, you're going to begin exercising, whatever it is a great day for a new start, September the 1st. Don't miss the opportunity. That's what I wanted to say about September 1. What do you guys think?
But that's really true, Steve. You're right, because especially being a parent, you know, you're geared around the school year, and it is the start of, okay, we're going to get more organized, we're getting on a better schedule, summer playtime is over. Yeah. Time to get a little more serious.
Well, the other thing, too, Steve, is this would be a perfect time to help us become a Club New Life member, because we're trying to have 1,000 people, new members, by the end of the year. And so this would be a perfect time, you know, with 4 months left, to jump on board and help us finish the year and then make a commitment to be
it's
with
almost
us
year in
the
giving,
next year.
Isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, you know, God says, try me on this giving thing. If you've never let your spirituality grow and expand to include giving, try me. And just see if it isn't the most amazing journey ever. I tried it. I wouldn't go back. It's the way to go. And if you haven't, maybe this is the time to do that. And it could be by joining Club New Life. Let's talk with Marie from Washington, D.C. Hello, Marie. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, I could be better.
What's going on?
I'm a lot better than I was 2 years ago.
What happened 2 years ago?
Well, I finally decided that I was going to either go under or I was going to have to become empowered and make some changes.
Okay.
So my question for you, I just have two questions. When molesting a child is the issue that happened in your marriage, does your everyman's battle, does that fall into that category of sexual addictions, or is that something totally different?
Well, first of all, what's happened since the molestation occurred with him?
Well, I think that was a major problem. You know, I didn't find out until my daughter was ready to leave for college.
Mm.
So she was no longer in the home.
Uh-huh.
We separated at that point for 2 years.
How long did he molest your daughter?
I married him when she was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was a one-time thing.
You don't know how long it went on?
Well, I didn't get particulars. I didn't get actual information from, I mean, I guess.
All right, we'll be back after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Marie, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Now tell me, when she told you that she'd been molested, you didn't say, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. How long did this go on?
Well, it's been so long ago. It was 22 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
I didn't get exact details, but I remember her saying not a long time.
Okay.
As long as she could remember, I think. And I didn't get exactly details.
Marie, it must have been pretty shocking for you.
Yeah.
It was,
kinda,
but actually, you know, I mean, I did immediate, like I want to have a, you know, I sent her to a girlfriend's house. I called my pediatrician. I went to domestic relations. I got a lawyer. I filed for a divorce. I immediately told him I wanted to have a talk, and we took a walk, and I said, I've talked to, you know, our daughter. I know what's going on, and I want you out right now. Said nothing. He packed a suitcase, and he left. He didn't say, I didn't do it. I'm so sorry. He said nothing. He just left. And then over that two-year period, he kept, you know, telephoning me. And, you know, my daughter said she didn't want to pursue anything. She just went off to college. She said, well, I don't want to, like, go, I guess, file or do whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
We had a son at the time, was the only one that was left at home who was big age difference. He was 11. So my husband kept saying, well, you know, I'm so sorry. And I didn't know at that time, I wasn't skilled enough to know until just recently that, you know, he would have to have much more consequences than just saying, well, you know, I'm changed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've been baptized now. I've changed. Unfortunately, I was also worried about losing my son because he was starting to say, I want a father now, not when I'm 30. I want to go live with him. And, you know, I was kind of very torn up about that, thinking that, you know, I wouldn't have anything to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, long story short, I had that two-year separation, and then we went back together. And, of course, the kids weren't home anymore, living at home. Only to, you know, just a lot of pain and I finally went back to him saying, okay, I will do anything I have to do to get you back. So we moved back, and then unfortunately, I didn't hold him to that. You know, he didn't actively pursue any kind of counseling or, you know, he went a couple times, like one or two times with me together to just a minister. Nothing that was, I don't think it was professional enough. I called that Christian counseling, but until I just found your show, I didn't really, they led me down a path of pretty much, you need to forgive, you have different personalities, you know, which I kept thinking, why doesn't that seem like it applies to me? It just doesn't seem seem logical, you know, because they were saying, well, you're this kind of, you're very submissive, he's this and he's that.
Okay, all right, so we get the picture.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jill.
Well, and Marie, it's like, you know, you guys needed heart surgery and you went to your dentist or something, you know.
So true.
It's like you weren't getting exactly what you needed because you needed something much bigger and stronger.
Baptism, I've never seen baptism in and of itself, one church service, cure a substantive addiction. I've never seen that.
So what's the situation now? Go ahead, Mom.
Well, so you're right to require more of him, and there needs to be reparative work with your son, with your daughter. There needs to be reparative work where honesty and confession comes out, where your husband is dealing with what happened and going back and looking at it in retrospect. And so the answer to your question, does EMB work for a child molester? Absolutely. Because it would be a great thing for him to do, to push him into a relationship with other men where he isn't just going to two meetings with a pastor or a counselor and then leaving. He's pushed into having to face himself. Now, what EMB does, it says, sexual control for a male is every man's battle. Now, as to how that sexual struggle manifests itself, hundreds of different ways for every different man. So, but we all have the same struggle. How do I rein it in? How do I learn to take that, bring it into a place of control? And then the other point is, how do I have a relationship with my wife? See, when I have guys that come in for pornography issues, I say, well, you got to bring your wife because we're going to work on relationship with your wife because that is something that's a missing element too.
See, we divorced now just as of April of this year.
But you're living together.
No. He moved out of state.
This is pretty confusing.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Okay, so what is the question for us then?
The question was, I was wondering if that workshop would work for him. And really, the second part of my question, I no longer worry about, you know, before I was taking on the sole job of changing my son and his total dysfunction because of the role model that he had. You know, I was spending that 20 years overcompensating, trying to, you know, be the kind person that my husband wasn't, and so he saw this role model. So it's dysfunctional for my son right now, who's in his 30s, and my husband, I think, still wants like a kind of a friendship thing because, well, I'm not wanting to have that relationship at all. But everything's all broken and everything, and I was wondering if now that we're divorced, just for the sake of grandkids and the next generation and my son, and do I still have any right to say something like, well, now, after the fact, you know, until you would do something like that or address it. And, you know, he's always taken the stand like, you do whatever you have to do to fix that. I'm sorry, it was over 20 years ago. I can't go there. I put it in a box, and it's locked. It's locked in a room, and I won't go there. But you do anything that you have to do to fix it for everybody else. That's pretty much what he says.
Marie, you have every right. In fact, I think you're obligated to ensure the protection of other people.
Absolutely.
In fact, when he says...
That's what I think still doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah,
because
I think you're still...
Even when I got the divorce, it feels like I still don't...
You're still handling this
because,
too light.
Yeah.
I think. You know, have you called and reported it to Child Protective Services?
We went to the courthouse when it happened.
Okay.
So
that's been reported.
Relations.
Okay, you did say that. That's right.
But I don't know if that was officially done then or what.
Marie,
I was in such shock that I really don't remember everything.
Of course you were. Marie, if you told them what happened, then it was reported.
Okay.
Because they're mandated.
Okay.
I mean, that's the court. They're definitely, you know, going to
okay.
file that.
So would I be able to find out if I did report that?
I think you could. It would be a public record. Yeah, and
but,
so
okay, but the issue is, I think we've established that. The issue is, yes, EMB would help your husband.
It would
and
help.
And you should recommend it. And number two, you need to be as involved with your kids still to this day and your husband, even though you're divorced, of trying to create repair. Atmospheres of honesty, telling your son the real story, who's 30 now,
he won't listen to one word, even if I open my mouth about anything. He is,
well, then,
I think he's resorted to some alcohol issues.
Marie,
angry at me.
Okay, that's a different story. He's angry at you. And oftentimes,
I think he thinks if you would just be quiet about this and not be, it happened over 20 years ago,
Marie,
let it go and pretend nothing happened.
Marie,
and you're causing all this trouble.
Marie, sometimes the person such as yourself is blamed by the child because,
sure,
you know, you're the one that, you know, said no more. And so the child blames you. But if the child doesn't know what the real issue is, the 30-year-old now, if he was 11 then, he doesn't know what the real issue is. Your father molested your sister, your half-sister. You know, if he doesn't have that to wrestle with, then you remain the target,
mm-hmm,
you see, because you're the one that was voicing an opinion. If you just keep your mouth shut, Mom, everything could be fine. I could have my dad home. And, you know, so that's all he sees at 11 years old. He's not old enough to get what really happened. So I think you owe people the truth. That's all I'm saying.
Also, I think a child is angry at the other parent because they didn't stop it or they didn't prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had, then it wouldn't have happened. And
too little control back then, so now,
yeah,
when you're voicing it, it's like,
right,
a little too late.
Yeah, that's right. So it's very, very tough. I want to send you Healing as a Choice, but my main issue would be you've got a father who molested his daughter, and that is very, very difficult for everybody to heal from. And just getting baptized doesn't do that healing. And he needs every man's battle. He needs ongoing accountability with other men. I have to wonder what's going on with him. I would love to see his computer. Often child pornography goes along with this. So,
and Marie, I would just also add, trust your gut. If it feels like something isn't quite enough and it's not right, go get into some ongoing counseling for yourself so someone,
yeah,
can help you walk through this because you're too,
right,
close to see it clearly.
That's right.
You know, Steve,
yes,
for 12-step, the 12-step groups require that people do personal inventories.
Mm-hmm.
And they require then that people go back to the people where there's an inventory and something's not.
Make amends.
And make amends,
mm-hmm,
if there's, yeah, not a repair. And so another thing that could be very,
mm-hmm,
healthy,
yes,
for that man would be to be in a 12-step group where he'll be forced into not, because when we compartmentalize, lock it in a box and put it away, it leaks out.
Mm-hmm.
It leaks out. It's just a contamination that needs to be cleansed out. And that is how the body works. We have a thing called a conscience, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I'm glad he's accepted the Lord. I'm glad he got baptized.
Sure.
I'm just not saying that's the instantaneous cure-all.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mylan, I think for Marie too, she could go to Codependence of Sex Addicts groups.
Absolutely.
And
she could go to her own 12-step group.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. I hope that's helpful to you. Man, that's a tough one.
It's really tough.
Let's talk to Darlene from Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hello, Darlene.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. How could we help you today?
Well, first I wanted to tell you that I'm a new listener.
Okay, great.
Welcome.
First time today.
How did you find us? How did you find us?
Actually, I was just flipping through the AM stations today for a Christian program, and I found yours.
Yay. Well.
So, yeah, lucky day for me.
Yes, it is. So, how could we help?
Well, I'm 46. My fiancé is almost 50. Both been married before. We've been living together for over 6 years, and I'm a Christian, and he's not. And I always had this nagging feeling in the back of my mind that, you know, our relationship is wrong and that I'm living in sin and that, you know, God's going to punish me for what I'm doing. And So I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, I think the nagging feeling that this is wrong was probably right.
Yeah, and after the break, I'd like to make a case for the fact that he's not your fiancé.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
Steve?
Hang on
there. Yeah. Okay. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Milan Jurgovic, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. The book we're featuring is Walking Into Walls. We've been doing that through the month of August. You can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by going to newlife.com. You can also find Milan's book, How We Love Our Kids, and Dr. Hubbard's books, The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets Young Women Keep. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Jurgovic, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're talking with Darlene. She is a brand spanking new listener and first-time caller. And she's, Milan, Jill, what do you think? Engagement to a non-Christian.
Well, Darlene, you know, I see a lot of people in your shoes. They've been living together for 6 years. We call each other my fiancé, but the person doesn't really make a commitment to you. And so he gets everything he wants out of the relationship, but he doesn't have to make a commitment to you.
It's a pretend marriage.
It's kind of a pretend relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a roommate thing. I get all the benefits.
But we are getting married.
When?
Did you hear that?
When, Darlene?
Oh, when? I'm sorry. We'd actually plan on doing it in March, and then his father died. So, he would go to the courthouse now and get married if I wanted to.
Yeah.
So we just haven't set a specific date, but
okay.
But
there's
no lack of commitment on his part.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And I feel like I'm a really good influence on his life. I mean, I do talk about my religion and. You know, he doesn't brush me off. You know, he listens to me when I tell him that, you know, that maybe we have a financial issue and it gets resolved. And I tell him, you know, I think this is a God thing. I think God did this. And that's the reason why we're getting through this. So I feel like,
what do you,
you know, are there situations when this could be good? I mean, I don't. He doesn't have any other Christian influences in his life.
Yeah, and I think just to go back, then I will retract what I said. He sounds mm-hmm. like he's committed to you. Then he is perhaps, you know, then he is a fiancé if your intention is to get married. So I'll retract that.
So he's just doing, Mylon, what someone who lacks a commitment to faith or knowledge of faith does, right?
Perhaps
right.
so. Mm-hmm. And I would have your concern, Darlene. I would say I would agree with you. I would have the same concerns. You know, the Bible says we're not to be unequally yoked with someone who's a non-believer. And I think marriage is the ultimate yoking of two people together. I love the Christian mm-hmm. influence, but it may be that you need to say, you know, this is the one piece that needs to be resolved before we do get married. And if he's as reasonable as he sounds, and he sounds like a really good guy, you know, then maybe he would listen to you and he would take it seriously. And I would make that a very strong criteria for marriage.
And, you know, it might be an interesting question if you were saying, I've been living with this guy. He's not a Christian, but he goes to church every day with me. When we go to church, he reads the Bible. We have similar spiritual interests, mm-hmm. very open. He just hasn't accepted Christ yet. But it seems to me that he's kind of disengaged from the spiritual part of life. And if it is really important to you, I wonder if that's going to cause further distance in the future. Or do you just want to marry this guy no matter what, whether it's right or wrong?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of there.
Okay, well, that's
I'm
what you
that's
be honest.
Honest.
Whether it's right
be
or wrong,
honest
to be
honest
with you.
Yeah, but, be honest with yourself and just say, you know what, mm-hmm. I don't really care what the Bible says about this stuff. I'm just going to do this. Do you have any hints for me? Well, I would say one hint before you get married would be, say to him, you know, spiritual things are so important to me. I'm just wondering if we could go to church together. Or I'm just wondering if someone could explain my faith to you better than I could and see what you think once you've heard it explained. Those are some things I might do.
And would you be willing?
Yeah. And when he says,
to do those things.
No, I'm not going to do those things. Well, then, you know, that will make you a more informed marrying person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just going to marry no matter what, I'd still want to know what I'm marrying so I can know how to deal with it once we are married.
Yeah, I guess in the back of my mind, I'm one of those millions of people who says, well, I'm going to make him a Christian. He's going to become a Christian because of me. And, you know, I've seen people in marriages for 20 years. You know, it doesn't happen. Sometimes it does.
So what hopes and idealizations did you have in your first marriage that didn't come to pass?
Oh, my first marriage, my ex-husband was a drug addict and an alcoholic.
And were you hoping that you would,
still is today.
Were you hoping, though, at a certain point in time you could help him, that you were going to help him out of that trap?
I do have those tendencies to take care of people and... But he actually, I was married very young to him, and he was actually a Christian. That was really it was a different, you know, in a lot of ways. He was very dependent on me, kind of a codependent thing.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, Darlene, perhaps Mylon is suggesting that, do you see any similarities mm-hmm. at all from the first
right.
marriage? It may not be exactly the same
yeah.
story. This guy may be a much better guy than the first guy, but mm-hmm. Is there any overlap
yeah.
for you?
All right. I'm going to send you a book, Being Christian. It's got all the elements of the Christian faith right there in it. Any question pretty much that you'd have, it is there. I'm going to send that to you. Maybe that's something you guys could go through together. But I wouldn't ignore this issue. Yes, you're going to marry this guy, no matter what. But don't ignore it. Don't look back and say, I never even ask about it. Never even, you know, hinted that this might mean something to me. At least do that. We'll take a break and we'll come back for more of New Life Live right after this. You know, in Walking Into Walls, I talk about the key to being to blind ignorance is obedience, doing the right thing. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I'd like for Terry to play a small clip by Dr. Adam Biancini from our Christian Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center. And he explains here why you should not wait to get treatment. Let's listen.
This disease is a ravishing evil menace and just wants to rob, kill, and destroy. And many people have that mentality. Well, I'll wait till it's convenient. I'll wait till the summer. I'll wait till I have a vacation. I'll wait till I can afford it. I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait. But unfortunately, the disease doesn't wait. And quite frequently happens is that people die long before they decide to act out on that decision to get well. God is calling now, and he wants to heal, just like the prodigal son and the father who was waiting and watching and wanting for him to come home. Just like that is God waiting for each and every one of us to go off that path of addiction and sin and come back to him and be restored and have the robe put on, the sandals and the ring.
All right. I tell you, if you are someone living with someone, don't you put off getting the help that you need. You really do need to call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A lot of times it's very difficult for a person who's relying on a drug to all of a sudden wake up one day and say, okay, I think I'll get off of this drug. No, don't wait for that. You make the move. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. All right, let's talk with Deborah from Reno, Nevada. She watches us on the NRB Network. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
How could we help you today, Deborah?
Well, I'm 55 years old. I live in Reno, Nevada with my older brother. I have been in recovery since 1996 for cocaine.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have presently been drinking alcohol, but I have been going through my four-step two or three times. I've done it in the past. And I've been with counselors, and I have grown up with quite a bit of and physical abuse in my family. Then I was molested by a priest at a young age before I was going off to be in a musical called Up With People.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, I was raped. And as I become 55 and single, never married, I do have a grown daughter who's absolutely wonderful. And I struggle with the knowledge that I believe that the time that the priest molested me, being a strict Catholic, that that really had an impact on my life and has to this day.
Sure.
I don't date. I've never been married. I don't really proceed into any strong relationships because of all the abuse in my life, and I'm tired of it. At 55, I don't want to be alone forever. I also don't want to miss out on some of the lifestyle that I used to have and the effervescent young woman that I was and no longer am. And I finally decided to call you guys because I've been watching your program. And even through all the counseling, Christian counseling, going through Nevada Mental Health and being diagnosed with depression and post-traumatic stress, I'm still alone with me and God dealing with this.
Okay. What is the question for us then?
The question is, how do I proceed to undo what I believe was the beginning of when the priest molested me? I really, really believe, I've really prayed a lot about that, and it comes to my heart that that was when everything turned.
Okay.
As me as a young woman. What effect does that have on me?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just ask you a weird question. In not having dealt with this over that time, can you see how not dealing with it kind of benefited you in some ways?
Well,
because I'm really glad you're dealing with it now.
Yeah, I've been very good at just being very, I've been a Christian since 1974, so I really didn't ever hate that person. I just went on, okay? I contemplated it, I gave it to God, and I went on.
Yeah.
And as I got older, especially when my daughter was young,
mm-hmm.
I began to look at her at her ages and think, wow, I hope that doesn't happen to her, and what did that do to me?
Mm-hmm.
And when I did finally tell my family, not my whole family, I come from a very large family, 7 children, my mother just said, well, you must have done something because priests don't do that.
Oh, boy. All right, Jill, Mylan, what do you think? What should she do? She wants to heal from this now at 55 years of age. No support from the family when she tried to talk about
it. It's amazing to me, and I find myself all of a sudden just angry at what your mom said, because
mm-hmm.
it's amazing to me how many people take that naive approach and
are so dismissive.
They're dismissive, and they'll defend the father, the husband, the professional, the doctor, the teacher, and they'll blame the daughter, and they'll say, you must have done something wrong. Mm. I've even seen people do this with children. You know, well, you must have seduced him or something.
And as if you did something wrong, so that made it okay.
Yeah.
Right?
And that
so
just,
even if you did something wrong.
So I'm kind of just sort of fighting mad here, Deborah, in defense of you to say, no, he should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
He should have not touched you. But,
because that was my God. That was the representative of my God.
I know, mm-hmm. and I'm so sorry. It just makes me so upset. And this is what happens to many of us when a person we idolize or follow, and then they betray us. And I think many of us have, I would have to say, all of us to some degree or another have experienced betrayal in our lives. And yet we have to remember it and carry it, but we have to incorporate it into our lives in such a way that we move on with the pain and it becomes constructive, as opposed to allowing that destruction to continue to be something that defines me to this very day.
Yeah, you're really living with the consequences of your mother's ignorance. Otherwise, you probably would have started a healing process back then.
Yeah, so what we have to do is we have to grieve the loss. And if I would say through your Nevada Mental Health and the postpartum depression and everything, how much grief have you been through?
Because it sounds like, Deborah, you went and dealt with a lot of symptoms, but not what was really the cause of what was going on.
I think I'm dealing with it now. That's why why I'm reaching this point. Because when I went through my recovery for cocaine, because I in my 20s I was acting And, you know, part of what my mother said stuck with me. So every time a man had approached me in a non-respectful way, it was, oh, you must be doing something. You must be doing something. It's something about the way
there's
you
something
look.
Wrong something wrong with
about
you.
The way you
okay, we understand that. The issue now, okay, though, is so, what can we do to help you to heal?
Yeah, right now I'm reaching an older age.
Yeah.
So that therefore my attractiveness is not important at all. My just being me and being secure in who I am and being living my life as an adult is important, and that's when the grief is now coming in because I've slowed down enough. My daughter is grown. She's out of college.
Okay, so you've got some grief work that needs to be done. Yeah, go ahead,
Jill. So you have some time now to be able to dive into this and to bring up some of these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's finding the right type of help. You went for help in the past. It kind of put Band-Aids on things and kept you going, but it really didn't help you heal. So, you know, things like we always recommend our weekend because it's a great place to start into a healing process.
Sure.
For someone who's wanting to begin, because it'll really immerse you in a healing environment.
That's a good idea.
And then to go from there and get involved, you know, with a therapist that will deal with the types of issues you're talking about, and possibly a group for survivors and things like that, so that you're thinking about a season of life where you're going to really be willing to jump back in a little bit and look at it from a different perspective so that you can heal and move through it.
This is a perfect situation to go to Women in the Battle because you have been affected so deeply by this priest, sex addict, and ignorant mother.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the beginning of some true healing for you. So hold on, we want to tell you more about that. And anybody else, you know, as I mentioned earlier, September 1 is a great time to make it the new year. And maybe this is where you say, okay, I'm going to go to Every Man's Battle, or I'm going to go to Women in the Battle, or Lose It for Life, or something. I'm going to start seeing a counselor. If you want to do any of that stuff, you call us at 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. Mark, you'll be our last caller when we come back from this break, so please hold on. And all of you, we've got one more segment to go with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich and your phone calls. If you need some help, 1-800-639-5433. That is the number, 1-800-639-5433. Those are the numbers for 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call us. We want to help you. And what a great day to get things off. One thing you could do is decide, I'm going to be in this new last quarter, new year, I'm going to be a giver. And maybe you could be one of the 1,000 people that we want to join Club New Life. We're already over 500. We think we're going to get there. We'll be there.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ.
Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich, and I said we'd go to Mark, and here we are. Mark, welcome to New Life from Pittsburgh, listening on WORD. Hi there.
Hi. I'm a Club New Life member, and...
Great.
Well, thank you.
Blessing your ministry has been to me, and I'm sure tens of thousands of people. I've been listening to you guys for probably over 15 years.
Wow. Thank you.
My question is, do you believe that it's possible for two Christian people who live on different continents, who are both single and never married, and they're talking on an internet site like the Skype, to determine if both of them are compatible, if they can get to know each other's character, to lead to making a decision to engagement in a marriage that will last a lifetime?
Well,
I have read Every Man's Marriage and Every Woman's Marriage. I recommend those books highly also.
Well, Mark, are you saying that you would just do the long distance and then she'd come over and you'd marry her, or you wouldn't just like be together for a week or something?
Right. Yeah. There would be, some face-to-face time.
Have you never been face-to-face?
No, not this time. We've been talking for about 7 or 8 months now.
Why haven't you gone to see her?
Work-related, and also just some health problems on my end. Not seriously, but enough to prevent a visit at this time.
Huh.
It's a commitment to make that travel. I'm willing to do it, and the earliest probably would be maybe by Christmas or even next summer due to work. Being able to get time off work.
Well, you know,
that's good timing.
I just think you need to go do that, no matter what, and then you make your decision. I was online with my wife for before we got married for about, I don't know, 4 to 6 months, and then we talked on the phone 4 to 6 months, and then we finally saw each other and had the first date. But then we dated, a year or something like that. But I would definitely not do it, tell her to come here and commit to her when you've never seen her in person and
right.
been with her and let her react to you. Mylon, you're always talking about this kind of stuff and what relationships do to people, and it's kind of hard to have the full reaction just through a computer.
How often do you talk to her, Mark?
About at least once a day, usually for a couple hours. You know, we do some Bible studies and pray.
That's a lot of time.
It's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah. And I would say, like, I agree with Steve. I would make sure that, you know, are you guys of a similar culture? Culturally, are you similar?
No.
Okay.
She would be over in, I believe it's on the other side of the world, in Southeast Asia.
Okay. And that's what's really hard, because you see, people, you can enjoy one another, but again, where would you choose to live? How do you deal with those adjustments if you get married? And in fact, when that happens, how much time have we spent together? And I think, Steve, you're right. It's you would be required, not that you couldn't find a wife from Southeast Asia. There's many fine men and women that come from all over the world, and I love each of your hearts. The issue is, how well do we know each other?
Well, and I don't think that you can date in isolation either.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, part of it is you guys have created this little bubble. It's your Skype bubble. And you're spending time together, and you're seeing each other, and that's great. You're developing some good things, but it's limited. And so part of it, when you're making a decision for marriage, you really want to bring a person into your other relationships, your friendships, and get their reactions, because they're not blinded by love and the desire to, you know, tie the knot. So they're going to give you different reactions, and I think you need those to make a wise decision.
Like the families are very tied together oftentimes in Southeast Asia. You ask a person to move to the United States, and all of a sudden they're apart from their family. And because they're in this bubble, they can always be back and forth with their family. Then they come here, and all of a sudden they're a different person.
Yeah. What does she do for a living, and how much does she make?
She is an administrative assistant for a company executive. I don't know her income level.
And does she know your income level?
No.
Okay. Well, you really aren't ready to move forward until both of you know financially where each of you are, and that's just part of your relationship. Let's just say that she makes $50,000 a year and she's $250,000 in debt. When you marry a person, you're marrying their income and you're marrying their debt.
Okay.
So you have to know that. And it's the same thing with her, that she needs to know all that, because she might say, whoa, he's got so much debt. I'm questioning some things that we've never talked about this before. So you need full disclosure and not just tell her the things that are wonderful about yourself.
Right.
And there's something also just different about being in someone's presence. Mm-hmm. It's not that the other isn't good, but I think to only have your relationship, you know, at a distance like that, you're not experiencing what it's going to be like to be with her.
What if I don't like the way she smells?
I know. We've talked about that.
See, good point.
I mean, you know, you seriously, what's it like to be around a person physically? That's a great point, Jill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rhode Island, thanks for bringing up such a delicate issue.
I know.
Appreciate that, buddy.
You're so welcome. I mean, you know.
You just never know how a person might smell.
You know, Steve's at a distance. We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what Steve smells like today. He's in Indiana.
Right. Okay, well, Mark, here's the deal.
Yeah. I've had a couple other long distance, you know, here in the States, and you're right. When you do go to meet the person, it's different.
Well, Mark, and it will be awkward at first.
Mark, if you don't have enough money or resources to go over there and see her, you don't have enough money or resources to get married.
Right.
Okay? So you need to plan a trip, stay as long as you can, be around her as much as you can, so you have an opportunity to annoy each other so you can see if you can get beyond that.
Correct.
Okay, so Mark, three relationships long distance via Skype.
Why? Yeah, why?
And it's like, you know, there's a lot of women in Pittsburgh. I mean, what's up with that? And distance may be safe.
Distance and ideal.
It may be safe. It may be ideal.
It's that bubble.
Okay.
All right. Got some stuff for you to think about there, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And got a new book. I don't even know what the title's going to be, but we'll get it to him once we get it. I think it's going to be Last Dates Before I Do. Anyway, it would really help him. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of information we need before we commit to a person for a lifetime. And there are a lot of marriages that shouldn't ever happen. And a lot of people know. They have these huge doubts, but they don't do anything about it. They just walk down the aisle.
Can I give a big amen to that?
You may.
As being the guy on the other end of these calls and also in my office where people go, why did I even go here with this marriage?
Mm-hmm. Right. And they knew, many times they knew before they got married it wasn't going to work. But, oh, well, the invitations are out. Oh, we've got all these gifts. Oh, my dad spent all that money already. And what they really need to do is walk out onto that stage, tell everybody we have made one of the most important decisions of our lives to not get married. And since we've rented the band and all that, let's go have a nice dinner and a dance, and let's celebrate the fact that two people were not willing to ruin the rest of their lives. Let's go celebrate that. I mean, what a great thing that would be. No one would think you were crazy. They'd think you were smart. Hey, if you can help us, please do by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. We need your help. Come join Club New Life or make that one-time gift. It's September. It's a new year. Start it off with the spirit of generosity and act generously. Mylan, thank you for being here. Dr. Jill Hubbard, thank you for being with me. And all of you, God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you. And we'll see you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.